Let's begin by talking about the gold rush, 1849. I'm sorry, but there was a phrase that entered my mind. There's gold in them there hills. And people from all over ran out, rode out, however they could get out to California to see if they could strike their fortune. Some of them came from North Georgia, where the nation's first gold rush had started in 1828. Some of them in that area had dug and mined and could not find gold. And so when they heard there was gold out in California, they packed up and left and went out there. Only a handful stayed in Georgia. But there's a town, and I meant to find Brother Elbert and see if he knew, or Byron, if you know the pronunciation of, and I went online and I said, how do you pronounce this term? D-A-H-L-O-N-E-G-A. Dahlonega? Thank you so much. That's much better than how I was going to pronounce it. There was a mine, Consolidated Gold Mine, just outside Dahlonega, that they found what was called the glory hole. They found a vein so rich in just one day, 58 pounds of pure gold was dug up. And the point is, the gold had been there all along. And probably some of those miners and prospectors had walked all over it and hadn't found it. But when they heard there's gold out in California, they packed up and left. I'd like to make application, as Keith Wisham does, that it's much the same with us and happiness. It's precious to us, it's valuable, we search for it, but too often we rush off when we hear, I have found happiness, and this is how you can have it too. And so we leave, we drop everything, and we rush over to see, how is it that I can find this happiness? And that pursuit of happiness is something that every person is involved in. All of us want to be happy, don't we? And we look in all sorts of, people look in all sorts of places in order to find this happiness. We tend to look for happiness in people, in the people or situations that surround us. And so many times that's how people would look for happiness and even define it. With the right circumstances, or having a relationship with the right person or group of people. If I can just have that particular job, or if I could just get into that group of people, then I would be happy. And we could go on and on about examples. But the problem with this approach is that it makes happiness impossible to find. Because you know what? People change, or people may fail us at times, or we may have had the wrong impression of what it would be like to be a part of this group. Circumstances change all the time. That dream job may turn out to be a nightmare. And what we thought would make us happy hasn't. But that's what happens when we make people or situations how we are happy, define how we become happy. Well, is it impossible then to be happy? Certainly not. We just got to know where to look. But listen to this statement. It's not out there somewhere. It's within us. It's within us. What each of us really wants, and I told Joy McDonald, I'm going to talk about her tonight. What we really want and need is joy. By the way, Joy McDonald, I believe, manifests this quality of joy. And this is much different than happiness. Happiness, you see the word happening in happiness. And so many times, as we've already stated, happiness depends on what's happening in our lives, our circumstances. Or it's the who's that are in our lives, the people. But joy is this quality of a deep, abiding, true joy. Peace. Those wonderful qualities that are not dependent on people, other people, or on circumstances. And this is what Jesus wants us to have. And this is what Jesus told his disciples in John 14 through 16, several different times. He says, "This is my joy that I want you to have, that no one can take from you." Joy is not a product of what is going on around us, but rather of what is going on inside us. So again, it's not circumstances. It's not the people around us that determine whether or not we can have joy. But it's something that goes on inside us. Now I want to issue this caution immediately. That's not to say that joy is found in selfishness. I'm afraid at times people in their search for joy will become self-absorbed. I'm going to look for joy, okay? And it's not in circumstances, it's not in people, it's within me. So I'm going to look deep within me and my own resources in order to find joy. Now watch this. Let's say it's that dream job. That I believe if I find that dream job, then I'll be happy. And so I scour the want ads and I find this job that looks appealing to me. I go and apply and I get the job. And then it turns out my boss is one of Satan's demons. I mean, he treats me horribly. So I said, this isn't it. So I look at the want ads again and I find another job. And then my coworkers aren't what they need to be. And so I go looking again. And then this time the work isn't what I thought it would be. Now watch this. With each of those different places where I've gone to work, there's something in common with each of those. What is it? It's me. Because I was the one in those different settings. And my only point with this is if we determine that we'll be happy or have joy when our circumstances are just right, it's kind of like a statement that I heard. If you think you have found the perfect church, stay away from it because you might mess it up. And the only point of that is that we are flawed. We make mistakes. We're imperfect. And so if we're looking within us for joy and we're imperfect, guess what? Joy is not found in being self-absorbed and thinking only about me. In fact, you remember this list of things? It's entitled, How to Be Perfectly Miserable. Let me share with you a few of these things. How to be perfectly miserable. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the personal pronoun I as often as possible in your conversation. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Here's some more that I didn't have time to put in there. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service you may have rendered. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be sensitive to slights. Be jealous and envious. Never forget a criticism. Trust no one but yourself. You think that's the recipe for misery? I believe that it is. I believe the most miserable person is the one who is self-absorbed, who is only looking at self and not at God and others. So when we say that joy is not found in the right circumstances, but it's dependent on something that's happening within us, we're not talking about selfishness. What are we talking about? This is where we go to the scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The word rejoice is found 9 times in 7 verses in Philippians. There's another phrase similar, rejoice with, 2 times in 2 verses. The word joy is found 5 times in 5 verses in Philippians. That makes a total of 16 times in 4 chapters where this idea of joy is mentioned. So it's a dominant theme in this book. But I want you to notice this passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. What type of statement is that? Rejoice in the Lord. It's not a question, but it's an imperative. It's a command, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's instruction from God. And Paul gives this rejoice in the Lord always as a command here. But he doesn't mention any current event which they were supposed to be enjoying or celebrating. In fact, he's telling them, rejoice in the Lord always, in all circumstances. Now, you think about that passage, and I believe we recognize some things about the search for happiness, which is really a search for joy, and how it is found. Number one, from this passage, we see that this command implies control. Rejoice, Paul instructs, commands. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And if God gives us this command through the Apostle Paul, does it not also make sense that his giving this command implies that we can, in fact, choose to rejoice, regardless of our circumstances? Doesn't this suggest to us that whether or not we find joy is a choice that we make? We can choose to rejoice or choose not to rejoice. But God says if we want to have it, we've got to make that choice to rejoice in the Lord. And again, as we've been underscoring in this during our time together, our circumstances do not determine our happiness. Rejoice. Rejoice with joy. 16 times in Philippians. And where is it that Paul is writing from? From prison. Who is Paul? What has he suffered for the cause of Christ? Shipwrecked. Beaten. 2 Corinthians 11, there's a long list of things that he has endured. But yet he is able to write, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Repetition for emphasis. Again, I will say rejoice. He didn't command them nor us to rejoice when their jobs were going well. He didn't say to be happy on Fridays when you get paid. He said, rejoice always. Whatever is happening around you, whatever is happening to you, rejoice. Have any of you ever faced any situations where you found it hard to rejoice? Every one of us. So what's the key? How can we have joy even in difficult circumstances? Look at that verse. I believe the answer is there. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I believe the Apostle Paul is underscoring the basis for our joy. Again, it's not in people, it's not in circumstances, but the basis for our joy is our relationship with God through Jesus. So rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say, rejoice. As I was studying this, I thought about an illustration that I'd read years ago. I'm not sure if I heard it from Wendell Winkler himself or not, but I was able to find it in his book, Heart Diseases and Their Cure. And in it, he tells about an elderly Christian man that was approached by the county tax assessor. And the tax assessor wanted to meet with him to go over all of his possessions, all of his assets, to see how much tax he owed. Well, this elderly Christian man told the tax assessor, "Well, I'll have you know, I'm a very wealthy man." So the tax assessor got his pad out and his pen, and so he's ready to write down all these assets, total it up, and see how much tax this man owed. So the tax assessor says, "Go ahead, tell me, what are your possessions? Watch this list. I have forgiveness of my sins." Ephesians 1 verse 7. "I have a mansion in heaven." John 14 2. "I have peace that passes all understanding." Philippians 4 6 and 7. "I have a Father who loves me. I have a Savior who gave his life for me. I have a church family that cares for me." Romans 12, 15. "Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I have a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Speaking of the word of God as a psalmist did. "I have a God that provides all my needs." Philippians 4, 19. "I have a crown of life that is waiting for me. I have joy unspeakable." Can you imagine the tax assessor? Just closes up his book. Says, you are a wealthy man. The good news is, those aren't taxable. But where was this elderly man finding the basis for his joy unspeakable? It wasn't in his circumstances. It wasn't in other people. But it was on his relationship with God. That's how you and I can rejoice, have this deep abiding joy, even when things aren't going the way we would like for them to. In fact, let's look at this passage in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, that speaks about this joy unspeakable. 1 Peter chapter 1. If I understand this epistle and the circumstances under which it was written, is written to Christians who were suffering, persecuted because of their faith. In fact, in this passage, Peter writes to them, encouraging them and reminding them of how they could still rejoice even in those difficult circumstances. Verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved, distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, joy unspeakable, and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So he's writing to some suffering saints that are suffering because they're Christians. And what does he tell them? Just run away. Get out of there. No, he tells them, it may be that for a little while you're going to be distressed or grieved by various trials. But yet, did you notice in that context, he's able to speak, share that word, rejoice, and also speak of inexpressible joy. And why was that? He reminds them of what is more important or most important. You know, we began this lesson talking about the gold rush in California, and then the gold found in Dahlonega, Georgia. But there's something much more precious than gold that's mentioned here, and that was their faith. They also had something for which they could look forward, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I point that out because when we're going through a difficult time, we may find it especially hard to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. But it's then that we need to be reminded about the spiritual blessings which form the basis of our joy, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And that's not a way of trying to ignore the troubles that we're going through, ignore the difficulties that we may be facing. It's not a way of being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But I believe this is what it does for us. It reminds us of what is most important. And it reminds us of the greater blessings that we have. And when our focus is on these spiritual blessings that we have, then we're better equipped to face the challenges that life brings. We can have joy, God says, through His Word, if we'll look in the right place. And again, it's not in circumstances. It's not in other people. It's not even within our own selves. But the way we're able to have joy is to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Christ because of the blessings that we have in Him.